Hello. Welcome back to Don't Mention the Fussball podcast. It's been a long summer break and there's been hardly any football to watch, so I'm getting fairly desperate for the start of the new season. Unfortunately, Jan is sunning himself in Spain at the moment, so it's just me and my Todd, but I thought I'd still have a go at starting off a pre-season podcast with the lead up to the season, what's happened over the summer break, perhaps a little bit after the Pokal match that's happening this afternoon. I'm recording this just before the match, and we'll see where we go on from there. Apologies in advance for any complete butchering of pronunciations that are going to go on. I haven't got Jan here to correct me, but I'll give it my best shot and see where we go from there. Over the summer, as you'd expect, there's been a few changes at Hertha in terms of the squad. Some old friends have left and some new ones have arrived. The most notable one, perhaps, is Julian Schieber, who's left on a free, going off to Augsburg. And I, for one, wish him all the very best luck in the world in going there. He's been a good lad at Hertha. Things haven't worked out for him in terms of his sort of fitness and health, but I certainly wish him well. Another one going, Genki Haraguchi, who came back from loan, and straight away, I think it was the next day, he went off to Hannover 96. And again, good luck to him, I say. We'll see how that turns out for him, as long as he puts in a good show. I'm sure we'll be all very happy for him. There's a few people that sort of been sort of promoted, if you like, got new sort of professional contracts. Max Pronichev, I've no idea quite how to say that, who's got a contract. He's come up from the under-23s, but he's going straight out on loan, hopefully to get some very useful experience. He's a sort of centre-forward, so he's a sort of front guy. You know, we need these people coming up through for Hertha. And he's gone off on loan out to Erzgebirge Aue. So good luck to him out there. Another one is Niels Korber, goalkeeper, that's come back from loan. He's going straight back out again, this time to Osnabrück. So good luck to him out there. Hopefully pick up some useful experience. There was also some bloke called Weiser that apparently is gone. Not quite sure who he was. But I gather he's gone to Bayer Leverkusen. That's all I can really say about that. Now, in terms of incoming players, one is a confirmation of somebody that was here in the last season and did very well, is Lazaro, who's rather than being on loan, has now got a contract coming in from Salzburg. I think it was 5.85 million that was sort of shelled out for him, but worth every cent, I would say. He's a pretty outstanding player last season. And hopefully he's going to be doing the same kind of good this time round. Now, in addition to that, we've got a whole load of youngsters that have been brought up, plus another one that's coming in on loan. I'll sort of tick those off sort of one at a time. And again, apologies for the pronunciation. I probably got it all completely wrong, but hey, I'll give it my best shot. One youngster coming up from the under-19s, I think, a left winger. Denis Yastrebensky, I think it is, who's sort of coming up and he'll be getting a shot. I believe he's in the squad for the Pokal match coming up later on. So that'll be interesting to see how some of these sort of young players, when they come out from doing the sort of pre-season friendlies and start playing real competitive matches, how they do. Whether they'll get a chance out in the field or whether they'll just stay on the bench, time will tell. Another 20-year-old coming up, this time from the 23s, Maurice Kovic, right winger. Hopefully that'll give us another option out in the wings that we may be able to sort of use. strength in depth is no bad thing at all. Another one, this one coming up from the under-19s, 18-year-old, so sort of very young. Hopefully we'll get a chance here and there to show what he's worth with the main team. That's Mohamed Kiprit, I think it is. Centre forward, up front guy. We'll see how that works out. It's another option. Maybe it's time to shine. Who knows? Couple of goalkeepers. One returning, Marius Gersbeck, who's back from loan. So he'll be there as part of the squad, I understand. So we have a rich supply of good goalkeepers. So that's another one. And up for given a contract from the under-19s, Dennis Smarsh, also a goalkeeper. So we're possibly awash with them. So we'll see how that pans out in time, how they get to be used. Very recently, right at the end, we've got a central midfielder that's coming in on loan from Liverpool. Serbian, I believe he is. Marko Grujic. Not quite sure how to pronounce that. But he's coming in a year's loan from Liverpool, courtesy of Mr. Klopp. So, yeah, it'd be good opportunity to see him, to see what he can do. Good experience for Liverpool's point of view, of course, for him to be able to get a play in the Bundesliga. Time will tell what he'll be able to do for us. And that's it, as far as I'm aware, in terms of the movements in and out. There's a lot of sort of young, ambitious players that have been sort of brought up from you know, our sort of lower teams, which is always good to see. The academy doing its thing. Time will tell. Time will tell. Now, that leaves us the pre-season build-up this year for the 2018-19. What news do we have there? Well, one little snippet that sort of came out, you know, via the website and Twitter and such like is thanks to the shirt sponsor for Hertha, the chain of shops called Teddy, they're going to be selling 10,000 tickets at €10 a shot. Certainly for the opening match against Nuremberg, which will be interesting. Good news for the fans. And I also gather you'll be able to buy vouchers for tickets in Teddy branches, which will entitle you to tickets for the home games, apart from the real biggies, the ones against Dortmund, Bayern and so on. Which is good news in terms of people that might not otherwise be able to afford to get to the ground, to be able to sort of get in for €10. That's about sort of £9 or so. Exceptional value. So one of the interesting things is, you know, why on earth would a club want to do that, to make that so cheap in order to go to those home matches? I'm going to go slightly off-piste here. A bit of a ramble, even by my standards, really, I guess. But as to my thoughts as to why that might happen. The Olympic Stadion is an absolutely wonderful stadium. In my experience, in my opinion, it's, you know, one of, if not the best stadium in terms of just being impressive in the whole world, really, or that I've come across. There's some people that criticise the place, saying that the architecture has a dark past, associations with the Nazis back in the 30s and the first part of the 40s, which is true, can't deny that. And it was built to impress for the 1936 Olympics originally. And it certainly does do that. I mean, it's lent heavily on sort of classical architecture. They weren't daft. They, People, back in Rome knew how to impress, and the architects that designed it sort of lent heavily on that, and succeeded magnificently, I would say. But I find it a bit harsh, people that criticise the stadium for that past. You can't blame the stone, the bricks and mortar, for the people that actually put it together. Now, going back to the subject as to why you would feel the need to be sort of not exactly giving away, but selling 10,000 tickets at 10 euros a shot. If you look at the numbers of people attending Hertha games, on average, it comes out at around about 45,000, which is a fair attendance. So there's lots of clubs in England that'd be quite pleased with having that score. And indeed, even in terms of the Bundesliga, which has some of the best attendance figures there are for football matches, it's sort of fairly solid mid-table in terms of that attendance. Not bad, you might think. The drawback being, if you call that a drawback, is the Olympiastadion is so big, because it's at capacity even without the extensions, the extra staging and things that they can put in above the marathon tour, it's still got a capacity of 74,000. So it doesn't take a lot to work out that if your average attendance is 45, there's a lot of empty seats there, and that does draw criticism from some people. Not from me, I hasten to add, but some people. I think the average attendance is something like about 61% full, which doesn't look quite so good really when it comes down to it. Now, even from here, I can hear our listener saying, "Why is that?" Now, it's Berlin. It's going to be complicated. Berlin's a complicated city with a lot of history. My feeling is that some of the reasons behind the attendance figures and things are down to its history. Now, currently the population of Berlin is around about the 3.7 million mark, so it's by far the largest city in Germany. It's got a big attendance, it's got a big population, a lot of people there. You would think it wouldn't be beyond sort of reasonable expectation to be able to sort of fill a decent sized stadium. Not as simple as that though, in my view. Berlin's history in the last century has been blackened somewhat by the devastation that fell on the city during the Second World War. The population, actually, of the city, even now at 3.7 million, isn't back up to the level that it was in 1939. The population fell further even after the war. It was a divided city, as I'm sure you know, for 40-odd years after the war, with east and west, wall in between. People still kept on leaving, or at least trying to leave the city, and there was a lot of difficulty attracting people to come to the city. Part of the sort of sort of corruption scandal and what have you that sort of went on at the first part of the early years of the Bundesliga are related in trying to attract people to come to the city. That has sort of consequences. Although the population of the city is rising, it is sort of going up all the time. But that's not for the most part a result of sort of native long-term Berliners having a very nice time, thank you very much. Some of it comes from, or the bulk of it probably comes from, people coming in from outside the city, either elsewhere in Germany or from other countries. Now, in part, people were sort of drawn to the city, sort of back in the day, back in time, for reasons like for the people sort of living in Berlin were able to avoid the draft, for example. That's it's one thing. But also there was quite a vibrant, artistic, creative community within the city, which drew people into the city for that kind of reason. Now, to some extent, that's certainly still true. There's quite a strong artistic community within the city. There's also what appears to be an ever greater number of hipster sort of types with come to the city to sort of grow impressive looking beards. But there's also a vibrant startup culture in Berlin, with sort of high tech, startup businesses being encouraged to start up in the city. And of course, you've got lots of young, independent, individualistic minded sort of people being drawn to the city as a result of that. Which is great in terms of employment in the city, money coming into the city. All of this is all good, but quite often those kind of people either have no interest in football at all, or if they do, they're coming in from other parts of Germany or other parts of the world, and they bring an existing loyalty to other teams from elsewhere with them. So if they've either got no interest in football, or they've got loyalty to other clubs elsewhere, then they're not really likely to sort of come up and start to become Hertha fans. It can happen, does happen, but it really doesn't help that much, that's for sure. You get a lot of tourists. Anybody going to any Hertha match in the Olympiastadion will see any number of tourists with, and there's lots of English being spoken there, but you hear all the languages under the sun pretty well will appear, where people have come to visit the city as a tourist, short-term kind of thing. And they go along to the Olympiastadion as a sort of like a cultural experience, if you like. But also you get football tourists that come along that just want to go to different grounds around the world and experience what it's all like, which is all fine, but they are not long-standing fans, although some of them can become so. One of the other things I think that can affect the attendance in the Olympiastadion, which I find a bit depressing, really, but I really don't like to see this. But you'll see Kneipers, sort of bars in Berlin that have got Hertha flags and things all over them, and they say, "Come and watch the game here." And this is for our home game, so if you want to watch Hertha play, go and watch it in the stadium. Don't sit there in a nice warm bar somewhere in front of the telly, but people do. So. Winters can be long, grey, and sometimes pretty damn cold. Not as cold as Canada before anybody sort of calls in or anything, but it can be pretty miserable out there. But even so, wrap up warm, get out there to the match. Now, some of these problems with attendance may be solved with the idea of developing the new stadium. Hertha have got, they'll be staying in the Olympiastadion as it stands up until 2025, I believe. Now, there are plans afoot to build a new purpose-built football stadium without the running track and what have you. Smaller capacity, I think they're looking at around about 55,000, which they could have a decent swing at actually filling up. I think the idea of building it outside the city, out in Brandenburg, has been knocked on the head, which is nice. I think the most likely scenario now would be having it built within, or at least partially within, the Olympic Park, and partially sunk under the grounds, so the actual sort of pitch level is well down there, which makes it sort of less intrusive on the landscape. We'll see. Personally, if we do end up moving away from the Olympiastadion, I think it'll be a sad day, because I think it's a magnificent stadium, but time will tell. Well, I think it's time to put an end to all this waffle and get down to the subject in hand, namely some football. Now, Hertha this season are kicking off with a Pokal match away at Eintracht Braunschweig, which is always going to be a challenging sort of game. It's easy to think that a team that's in a lower league than you is going to be easy to beat, but it never really seems to work out that way, not for Hertha anyway. Now Braunschweig's around about 250 kilometres away from Berlin, so it's not too long a drive. We did know some friends that went along to the game, which was last night as I'm recording it now, and they must have had a pretty enjoyable game. Unlike some of the TV coverage and what have you, something that did come to light from people that we know there was there were plenty of pyros going off in the Hertha fan block in that away game. There'll be some sort of links to Instagram pictures and what have you on the show notes when I eventually get this up onto the website. But it shows that you don't always get the full picture when you're looking at the TV at these games. If that's all you can do, then so be it. But it's nice to have a little bit of insight about what's going on when we're actually there. Now, as regards the team, well, let's cut to the chase. In terms of the team playing, we came out with our wonderful keeper, Rune Jahrstein, who's in goal. Now, as regards the rest of the squad, it appeared to be sort of like a 3-2-2-3 kind of formation with Tornariga, Rekic and Stark at the back. And then in the midfield, you had Dudar and Arnie Meyer with Marvin Plattenhardt and Lazaro out on the wings, with three up front, Maxi Mittelstädt, Abisevic, and Kalou forming the attacking front line of it all. In terms of some of the new players I was discussing earlier on, they were largely sitting on the bench, but we did have three of them coming on during the course of the game. The first of which to be subbed on for Kalou's aching legs was Denis Yastrzemski, I think it is, or something along those lines, who came on in the 75th. And then right at the end, Kopka came on for Bisevic, and Pal Dardai the younger came on for Mittelstädt. But that was in the 90th minute when the game was almost over. So that was the lineup and some of the substitutions that happened during the course of the day. Now, there was some drama that went on through the match. Some truly amazing stuff, really. But the start of it all was sort of fairly gentle, really, to be quite honest. Pretty slow start, I guess, sort of Hertha trying to sort of control what was going on as best they could without doing anything sort of too drastic. There was some early chances from Braunschweig. There was a shot that was blocked by an outstretched foot from Rekic, which could have been a bit nasty had he not got that foot in the way. Having said that, at the other end, there was a cross from our newly paid-for player, Lazaro, coming over from the right-hand side, headed by Ibisevic, but unfortunately just over the bar. There was a nice little bit of action there, also that involved Arnie Meyer, who sort of chipped the ball over to Maxi Mittelstädt that was approaching up towards goal. Couldn't quite keep it down, couldn't quite control it onto target, unfortunately. But you can't win them all, I guess. Now, things really started living up. Now, this was well worth seeing, and if you didn't see it in real time, then go and look it up on YouTube. There was an amazing bit of action here in around about the 38th minute of the match. There was a free kick conceded, and it was taken by Lazaro out on the right wing. Now, the ball sort of drifted into a really crowded box. There was a shed load of people in a really quite small area. So the Braunschweig keeper, probably quite wisely, you know, punched it out. And he didn't just punch it a little bit, he punched it quite a long way out. So from his perspective at that particular moment, seemed like a good idea at the time. Unfortunately, when he punched it out, it went, you know, way outside the penalty area, but it also went straight to Marvin Platnart. Now, he sunk a boot on it, on the volley, and sent it, you know, blasting over into the top right corner of the net, leaving the keeper no chance. An amazing goal, and what a great way to start your score sheet for this season. So, Marvin, you deserve all the applause for that one. That was an absolute corker. Well pleased with that. I mean, what can you say? Very unHerter-esque, but it was, you know, quite a joy to watch. We went in at half time, one goal to the better, which was so much the better as far as I was concerned. And we're just waiting to see what happened in the second half. More thrills and spills there. Right, well, the second half, that was quite eventful as well. Not quite so sort of dramatic in some ways as Marvin's goal in the first half, but there was quite a bit happening. At one point, there was a string of corners and throw-ins coming in from the left-hand side being taken by Marvin Plattenhardt. Now, the middle one of these was a throw-in, in actual fact, which he put over and Ibisevic managed to, you know, get hold of it, and it came so close to him sneaking it in onto the inside post, but the keeper managed to get one hand to it to push it out for yet another corner. So close, that would have been a corker, but it wasn't to be. Up the other end, we had a bit of luck ourselves, really, in the a shot coming in, which I don't think Jahrstein would have got by chance, really. I think happened to hit Torneriga's back, and he was sort of facing away from the attacking players. Not quite sure, you know, what he was looking at the time. Whether he was sort of looking for his mum in the crowd or something, I don't know. But come what may, his back was in the right place at the right time, and that's what counts, I guess. So that saved our bacon at that particular time. And in the 75th minute, that's when one of our young new players, Denis Yastrzemski, I think it is, or something like that, was subbed on for Kalou. Now, the reason why I'm sort of mentioning that once again is will become apparent in a few minutes. Incidentally, he was coming on for his first professional game for Hertha, so it was quite a moment for him. He had, what, 15 minutes or so to play in a cup game. Undoubtedly, he wanted to make his mark. Now, what happened sort of fairly soon after that, Hertha had another strike of luck. I mean, after having been saved by Torunariga's back, they were then saved by our left post. Again, Jahrstein wouldn't have got to it, but luckily the woodwork came to our rescue. But a short while after that, and I think it was around about the 81st minute, our defence really had a bit of a gaping hole in the middle of it here, because from the halfway line, the Braunschweig passed it up and managed to get it to a guy called Mergim Fezulawu, I think is something approximating his name. Dodged and dived his way around, I think it was four Hertha defenders, managed to turn and get a shot away to beat Jahrstein, much to the dismay of any Hertha fans that were watching at the time, to make it 1-1. We've been here so many times before in the past, Hertha, you'd almost, even at this early stage, start to feel the heart sink, but not quite. Hertha showed good character, I think, at this stage, and they went back at it, and then just, ooh, I think it was 2, maybe 3 minutes later, there was a wonderful little chip from Duda from the midfield, which managed to go over the top and then find Denis Yastrzemski, who understanding, he was in his first professional game for the club. Found him in the edge of the penalty area, and he had the discipline, the sort of common sense and the footballing brain, if you like. Rather than trying to pull the trigger himself, he slid it across over towards Ibisevic, who was in the process of already sort of sliding down towards where the ball was going to be. And then he managed to stud it into the back of the net past the keeper to make it 1-2. Nice way to end things up with only about 5 minutes or so left to play before the end of the match. It ended up with that scoreline of 1-2. And a great fighting start from Hatta at the start of the season. It was a joy to see. Well, that's it for this podcast, I think. We've got the first Bundesliga match coming up on this coming up weekend. The first home game against FC Nuremberg on Saturday. We'll see how that goes. A good old traditional club, Nuremberg. I remember sort of seeing them sort of back in the day holding banners up about sort of winning league. I think it was in... Was it 1921 and 1922? Long memory, German football fans, and good on them, I say. So it'll be interesting to see them back in the Olympiastadion. It's been a while. So, just to wrap it all up, you can find us on all the normal social media channels, you know, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, under the tag of @DMTFpodcast. You could also drop us a line on any of those media if you feel the need. Ask us any questions or, you know, make any comments. Try to be gentle with us, though. You can give us a like on iTunes. That would be very nice. Or even write a nice review if you have the time. It makes us feel better. Makes us believe that there's more than just one person that listens to this podcast. And it's always nice to feel wanted. That's it, I think, for this week. Bundesliga starts next week. So for now, it's a wrap. So it's good night for me, and it's good night from him.